Good morning. Welcome everybody to the service. I'm excited to be here. I hope you are too. Welcome to all our visitors. We want you to grab a yellow book, as we call it, the songs to remember, and join in with Voices in Fetter, number 111. 111. Y'all been practicing, I can tell. Number 154. 154. The King is coming.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Good morning, everybody. How is everybody today? Warm out, isn't it? Wind just nice, warm breeze is what everybody keeps telling me as they coming in. No, I'm being sarcastic, I guess is the right word for that. It's a cool wind that everybody is saying oozy about, and it's cold, and it just hurts after we've been enjoying the 70-degree temperatures over the last few weeks. But God's got a reason for us having this. It's maybe it's a wake-up call or something like that for us, just to not to be too comfortable and to just be able to enjoy His goodness to us is what it should be. I gave this this little praise report during Sunday school this morning, but I'm going to pass it along to everybody at this time. Thursday night, I usually go to a Bible study for preachers up at Lafayette, Tennessee, and we usually have anywhere from 10, 15 preachers on up to 20, 25 at times. I talked other night, and if you want to look on Facebook, look for the message that I had, plus the other good messages that are on there. You can look for the Missionary Baptist Preacher's Bible Study. There's good lessons on there for everybody, but it's geared a lot of the ways more for the preachers that go there. But the good news that came out of that night was Brother Chris Solomon, he does a jailhouse ministry up in Scottsville, Kentucky. And they had a lady that when they went in, they were told that she had multiple personalities, is what they said. And her statement was, "I hear voices all the time." So we understand where she was at. But during the service, she went to the altar, and as she was there at the altar, she came up from there, and she said, "The voices are gone." She said, I haven't had that in years, is what she said. And they proceeded to talk to her about maybe salvation, and some of them explaining peace. She said, "I just know the voices is gone," is the way she said it. And Brother Chris said, from everything she said, I believe she was saved, but she wasn't willing to go there yet. She said, I'm sure the voices will be back tomorrow morning. Well, he hadn't got to hear from her yet. They don't get to see her but every 2 weeks. But he's going to be curious to see how she's doing when he sees her again. But he said, from everything I saw, I believe she was saved. Well, the other good news, Brother Walter Andrews, a preacher that I know, is also over in Kenya doing mission work. They're doing revivals over there. And in the service on Thursday, they had 5 people to get saved. That was a great big blessing there. He talked like they was really good, bright professions is what the report was. So that was good news. One of the young preachers that was there, while I was teaching, he got up and went out. I thought I'd done went too long, to be honest. But he came in back in with good news. His brother had called him, and his middle child told him that he just got saved. And so 7 in just a few days' time. God's blessing it, and he's still saving. And that's a warning for those that are not saved. It's time to get ready. God's giving you another opportunity. And he's still saving today. But I wanted to pass along that good news to you about these that are being saved. And of course, I've been still bragging. Well, maybe I shouldn't call it bragging, but just saying how good it's been for us to be blessed like we have the 2 being saved here. And the 2 joining the church has been a great big blessing. We've got more in store if we'll rely on the Lord and listen to Him. So let's follow Him today in this service. We're going to ask you today to be prayerful for this service. We'll go to our children's church, and I'm going to bring them right over here today. Kids, come this way. Y'all come over this way. Come on. Come on, Luke. Luke, over here. Oh, you're going to cry, ain't you? Come over here. Come over here. Can you sit over here with Ben? Yeah, he's going to sit with you, Ben. He wants you to hold him. Make sure he don't fall. I had to have a prop today. Y'all remember my stick? Y'all remember my stick? Y'all don't remember this? I got this out one day and everybody's eyes got real good and big. I was thinking about something as far as history. Do y'all like history? Nah, I didn't think you did. When I remember reading something one time, and maybe I heard it in school when they was telling us about church in the United States. You know that they had in churches back in years ago, they would have two men standing on this, each side of the door, and they would have a long stick, longer than this one. But if somebody during the service started nodding off, you know, going to sleep, y'all don't ever do that, do you? Have y'all seen anybody dozing during church? I have too, yeah. I see all things up here a lot of times is the way I say it. But if somebody was going to sleep or maybe talking during the church service, the men had the responsibility. Notice this is a responsibility. They'd reach out there and they'd take their stick. They had a little hammer on the end of it. But they would reach out and pop them. They'd tap them on the head to wake them up. They get their attention is what they would do. Now, Miss Annette thought I was going to pop her, didn't she? I wouldn't do that. Now, if it had been Brother Sam, if I had been on Brother Sam's side, I would have. But the idea was to get their attention so they'd pay attention to the sermon. Do you think God ever does that, that he uses things to get our attention? Not a stick to pop us in the head, but sometimes he uses things just to get our attention. You know, I'll get what I want to say is sometimes God gives us little reminders of things of who he is and what he's doing. And sometimes, do y'all ever not pay attention to your mom and daddy? Ben don't ever do that, does he? I know Luke always pays attention. All of you do. But sometimes if you get to a place where you're not really listening to mom and daddy, they'll do something to get your attention, won't they? Maybe it's a raising of their voice, or maybe it's just maybe a little time in your room or something like that that they'll use to make you understand you need to listen to them. You see, God does a lot of the same things with us. He gets our attention. Maybe he gives us a little bit of a, what I'll say is kind of pushing us away just a little bit. It's not pushing us away. We go away and we get where we don't feel him when we're saved. We say, well, Lord, where you at? He says, I'm right here. You's the one went off. But it lets us know that we need to draw closer to God. Sometimes it may be something like maybe a friend walking up to you and say, boy, I sure am having a hard day today. And Lord just reminds you that you can pray for them. See, he's using them to get your attention to pray more. Sometimes somebody will just ask a question about, well, what about God or something like that. You see, God uses that to get your attention that you can testify to his goodness. Sometimes God uses a little bit of things. If we go way off, he'll use things. You dozing off already? I'll use my stick. But the thing about it is, God uses sometimes a little bit of something to get our attention. Always pay attention to God, just like you always pay attention to your mom and daddy. And always use that time that God gives you that you can work for him. All right, I'll let you go back. I ain't even have no fun. She ain't paying no attention.
I know.
I'll put this up. Everybody's paying attention to Luke. That's what it is. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning?
Mm. So they're at the orthopedic surgery this morning trying to figure out what to do. Her mother's 90.
Yeah.
Not in the best shape. So
Okay, thank you for that. I didn't know. In case you did not hear, Sister Jones' mother fell and broke her hip. And they're doing surgery today.
They're
trying to set up surgery. Okay. They're trying to set up surgery for her. So keep Sister Joan and the family in your prayers, but especially her mother. Somebody else. We've got different ones that are still sick. We've got some that came back today, and it's always good to see them back with us that's been sick. We do need to remember Brother Sonny and Miss Linda in our prayers. Miss Barbara, I talked to Davenport, I talked to her the other day, and she said they were doing better. They just getting over a cold, and she said, I think I'll be here today, but she didn't get to make it today. But she said Brother Lowell was having a little more trouble as far as his being in a wheelchair. So y'all do remember them in your prayers also. Anybody else got a prayer request? Okay. Yeah, I do remember Brother Monty and Sister Michelle Shoulders, the ones that goes down to Belize. She's needing an RA infusion, and the insurance company is giving them problems with that, so y'all be prayerful for them on that. But Brother Monty's got some physical problems also, and we do need to remember them in our prayers physically. I know that they'll be going back to Belize here before too long, but remember them in your prayers is what I would ask you to do. Somebody else? I'll ask you to pray for me. Pray that the Lord will help me today to bring out a message that will honor God today in this service. We'll call on one to start our prayer, and we'll ask everyone to pray in your own way. Brother Timothy, would you start a prayer, please? Everybody pray, please.
Thank you. Let's continue to sing. The worship service has turned to number 274. 274.
thankful for the good singing, the good songs, the good playing and all. Especially the last song. That's one of my favorites there. I especially like the third verse myself, because it talks about Jesus in it, and I think it's special in that way. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything this morning? I want us to always follow the Lord. Amen. And when we do that, God will bless what we do. Even if it's just a something simple as amen or something like it. Maybe you hold your hand up. I know we don't generally do that a lot, but I find in the scripture where it says to lift holy hands up. I do find that. And I'm thankful that we can praise God without saying a word. If the Lord gives you tears, don't hold them back. I've been blessed just by watching people shed tears before. But if he gives you more than that, you always follow the Lord is what I asked you to do. If nobody has anything on your heart, go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61st chapter is where we're going to read from. Seems like the Lord has led me a lot to the book of Isaiah as of late. And we're just going to take a little portion of reading here, and then we'll move somewhere else for further proof of what we're trying to preach about today. And so be prayerful for me. Isaiah 61 and 1 is where we're starting. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." That's reading verses 1 and 2 of the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. If you want to turn with me to the 4th chapter of the book of Luke this morning for just a second, or for a little bit. The 4th chapter of the book of Luke. This is during the early ministry of our Lord here upon the earth. Now, this is the timeline that I think we're at. According to this chapter, Jesus had went down to Jordan and been baptized by John the Baptist. And now he has came back home to Nazareth. Now, there's differences of opinion whether or not he had already called some of his disciples. Actually, Luke puts the calling of disciples after this, but John puts it before this happens is what it does. Now, we do know that according to John's writing, that Jesus had performed his first miracle in Cana of Galilee at a wedding there. He changed the water into wine. I believe that was before this, because if you go over early in this chapter, it says that his fame had spread abroad in the area already. So I believe that this had already happened. And what I want us to remember is Jesus' fame of what his power. And I believe he had preached his way from the Jordan River all the way back up here to Nazareth. And he had built up his name already among the people of Israel in this day. But what we're going to do is look at verse 16, where it says that he was now in Nazareth. Nazareth, history lesson, is where he grew up. He grew up in Nazareth. Now, Jesus will say later on in this chapter that a prophet does not have, I'm paraphrasing this now, does not have much good that comes out of him in his own homeland. And that's true about preachers too. Preachers usually cannot pastor the church that they grew up in. And the reason is everybody knows him. In a sense, like me, they say, well, that's Jack Nita's son. I know. I remember when he was this high. I remember some of the mischievous things that he did. They remember those things, and thus they think about them growing up in that way, and they do not listen to them like they should. Now, what Jesus did was he got to Nazareth, and it was the day that they were to meet in the synagogue, and it says here in the 17th verse, or rather in that 16th verse, it says, as it was custom in that day, they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. You know, everybody stood up for the reading of the scripture, but what I believe that it really means is that Jesus stood up wanting to read. And they delivered him one of the books of the scripture to him. Now this is going to sound familiar to you as I read what he read. In verse 18 he says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Have you heard that reading before? Well, if you wasn't paying attention, you should have heard it about 5 minutes ago. It's quoting Isaiah, as we read before. And Jesus was reading these scriptures to them. And it says, and he closed the book, and he gave it back to the minister, the servant of the synagogue. And the eyes of them all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were fastened on him because they'd already heard that he was teaching. I believe he was probably already gathering disciples. They were listening to him, and they had heard about his preaching. They'd heard about his miracles, and they'd heard these things. So they was waiting to hear what Jesus had to say. We ought to be listening and waiting for what Jesus has to say to us. Now, what it says, at the first thing that I think came out of his mouth, according to Luke, was, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, according to the next verse, he probably said a lot more than this, because they marveled at it, I guess is the best way to put, at the gracious words that he spoke. Now, it might have been just, that was enough right there for him to say, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. But I believe there was more of a sermon preached that day. But the part that stuck out the most to everybody was this, that this day is the scripture fulfilled. Because then they turn around and they basically say, is this not Joseph's son? Remember what I said about preachers in their own place? This is Joseph's son that's talking to us, but yet he is telling us that these scriptures are fulfilled for us right here today. And I believe they really understood that he was saying that he was the fulfillment of what is said here. The fact that he was anointed by God to preach the gospel to the poor. The fact that he was sent to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that was bruised. Bruised is the way it said it. Now, as he is saying this, all of this has to do with their salvation. You need to remember, the Jewish people as a whole were looking for a Messiah that would be a king of Israel itself and drive the Romans out of there. But we understand and know today out of hindsight that he came to deliver us from sin, the captivity of sin. That's why he came, not to deliver the nation Israel out of Roman hands, but to deliver us from sin. They started understanding what he said in that day. In this sense, they did not recognize Jesus as to who he was. They just heard what he said. You know, a lot of times we hear what people say, but we do not recognize exactly what they're talking about. And that was what they did. And actually, after he preached to them a little bit more, they got angry with Jesus. And now these was his family, the people he grew up with. They got so angry with him, they took him, and basically, I'm going to use the words, they drug him out of the synagogue, and they carried him to the edge of the city. Now, the edge of the city is not like it is down here in Murfreesboro, where you got a sign that says Murfreesboro City Limits. The edge of the city was a cliff, is what I understand it was. A big, long, steep hill, if you want to call it, a deep grade in that way. And what they were saying they were going to do, because that he was saying that he was the Christ, the Messiah, they were fixing to throw him off of the cliff. They didn't recognize who he was, did they? They didn't see who he was in that day. They were missing the point of all of it that he was doing. They were not recognizing him as the Messiah in that day. Now, what the intent of this message is, I'm finally getting to my thought today. They knew who he was. Those people in Nazareth, they did not recognize who Jesus was. But these people that I'm going to talk about today, they heard these prophecies and they recognized who he was. They heard the words of God and they recognized who he was. Now, my question is today, do you know who Jesus really was today? Is he a man that's just in a book that you recognize him in that way? Or is he a man that you've heard about all of you your life and you just recognize him in that way? Or do you really know who he is? Now, I'm going to tell you, first of all, who I'm going to say Jesus is. He is my Savior. He is the one that saved my soul with his own blood. He is the one who died for my sins, is who he was. But do you recognize who Jesus really is? Now, I'm going to give you somebody that we really cannot argue with, not even in the slightest little bit, that he knowed exactly who Jesus was. And if you go to the third chapter of Luke, just for a moment here, you're going to see how John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus on that day. And I'm not going to talk about John yet, but we're going to get to him in a minute. But after Jesus was baptized, in the 22nd verse, and it says, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased," is what he said. So God the Father knew exactly who Jesus was. He did, excuse me. He knew exactly who Jesus was. And because of that, and because of the actions that Jesus was doing that day, and the words that is said in the scripture in that day, was that this was pleasing unto him, that he was fulfilling all righteousness in that day. Did Jesus have to be saved? No. Did Jesus have to do something to be righteous? No. He was already righteous because he was like God. He was righteous all the way down to the depths of his body. If you want to put it in this way, from the very tip of his toe all the way out to the top of his head, he was righteous, but he was fulfilling what God wanted him to do and making these things right in their eyes. Now back up to John just a few minutes here. And I'm going to 1 John is where I'm going. If you want to look at this rather quickly, I think John knowed who Jesus was. When John was preaching there at Jordan River, the Bible said there was a multitude of people gathered around, and he was baptizing them in that day. And he'd already told the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came to him. He said, there stands one among you whom you do not know. He said, he is able to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said, I just baptized with water. Now, what John goes on to say here in verse 29, he said, and the next day, after he talked to these Pharisees in that day, he said, and the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now I'm going to ask you something. How did he say that? Well, some people says, well, he was a cousin to Jesus, and so he grew up with him and knew him. Actually, John himself grew up down in the wilderness of Judea, and Jesus grew up in Nazareth, and they were about 70-something miles apart. To be honest, in our day and age, that's like living in Maine and going all the way to San Francisco. That's the type reference that we're talking about. In other words, they didn't just run down to the next house and visit. Actually, according to the way John says it, I don't believe they'd ever seen each other. Truthfully, they didn't. But what it says, he says, behold the Lamb of God. So how did John know that this was the Lamb of God? It was by the Spirit of God that John knew this. I believe he met the Lord in salvation. I believe he had gotten to the place where he was so spiritual that when the Son of God came around, he was ready to recognize him completely. You'll remember when Mary stepped into the room with John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, the babe leaped in her womb, and the Holy Ghost came upon her, and she said, blessed is the mother of my Savior. That's paraphrasing it there. Blessed is the mother. How'd she know it was Jesus in the womb of Mary? The Lord showed it to her. Now, John here, he knew what he was seeing. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, what he says here in verse 30, he said, this is he whom I said after me, cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. In other words, he was already here before I was. In other words, he was from beginning. And he said, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptized. In other words, I'm supposed to show him to the world. Not only by the very fact that he said, behold the Lamb of God, but by the fact that he baptized him. And not only by those two actions, but after the baptism and Jesus had left him, he said, there's that Messiah. He's here. I saw him. He's here. He knew him. He wanted to tell the world about him. How did John know these things? John says, I knew him not. Notice he says that. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record in saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. Same thing that Luke said, wasn't it? He said, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. In other words, God let him know. And because God let him know, he believed it. And because he believed it, he could tell the world about it. If you go over a couple of chapters into chapter 3, his disciples, they kind of got a little bit jealous. I'm talking about John's disciples. Because the Bible says in this third chapter that Jesus baptized more disciples than John did. They got a little jealous about it, and they said, Master, that guy that you pointed to there down in Jordan, he said, now, why is he building up so much? Now, what John said was this, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now listen to the next verse. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly, and speak of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. John recognized just exactly who Jesus was. He kept telling the people about Jesus, even though he wasn't in front of him. Now, that's a hint for all of us today to keep in mind that we should keep on telling people who Jesus is, what he's done for us, how that he saved us. We're never to take the place of being higher than him. We are to be below him, and lifting him up is the way we're supposed to do it. Now, these people knew who Jesus was. Now, Jesus, on one occasion, you've heard this too many times, I'm sure, to say it, you probably finish to quote it for me, but Jesus asked the question of his disciples on one occasion, who do men say that I am? Now, what's the rumors that are out there? Have you ever heard just a little bit of a rumor about yourself, and you go to a friend and you say, what are you hearing about me that I did? Have you ever done that? I've done that a few times. But Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? Well, the people of Israel were looking at him, and they were basically saying, well, you're probably one of the prophets that's come here. Maybe you're Jeremiah. Maybe you're Elisha or somebody like that is what they're saying. But basically, they say, you're one of them, or maybe they say, you're John the Baptist that was risen from the dead. John had already been beheaded by this time. And they said, some of them are saying, you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. No, he was not any of them. He was greater than all of them. But Jesus turns to his disciples. I'm going to ask you a question today. You can answer it within yourself. If somebody asked you who Jesus was, how would you answer them? That's a simple question, wouldn't you? Would you say, well, he's the guy I heard about in Sunday school? That's not a bad answer, truthfully. Maybe you might say, well, he's that feller I read about in the Bible. You might say that. But Peter answered it very quickly, I believe. No, Peter was bold most of the time in his actions. And what he said, "Thou art the Christ," is the way he said it. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He answered it plainly, didn't he? And I like the answer that Jesus said that to us. I'm going to put it this way. I'm going to tell you just exactly how I know who Jesus was. The same way that Peter did. The same way that John the Baptist did. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to know it just the same way that God did. God knew Jesus just plainly as his son. I don't know him as my son, but I know him as my Savior. When that I got saved, the Spirit of God bore witness with my spirit that I knew that I was saved. And how was I saved? By the blood of Christ is how I was saved. And what Jesus said, he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my heavenly Father revealed it, which is heaven, revealed it unto you." I messed the quotation up, but you get the gist of it there. He said, "My Father revealed it to you." God revealed it to me is what he did. He revealed it to me on that day that I might know without a shadow of a doubt who Jesus is today. How do you know? Have you been saved? Have you got that experience? Or are you just going by what I said or your Sunday school teacher said or maybe what you've read? Well, we believe it's important to know, don't we? You need to know him is what you need to do. Go with me, if you will, to the 5th chapter of 1 John. The 5th chapter of 1 John says it this way. John doing the speaking here, and he makes a good statement, first of all. "For we know." We know it. I know him. I know who Jesus is. He said, "For we know that the Son of God is come." I know that today. I know I wasn't here 2,000 years ago when Jesus came to live here on this earth, to walk this earth, to suffer on this earth, to live and die on this earth, to be resurrected. But I know it. I didn't see it with my eyes. But there's a place in my heart where I believed it with every ounce of my body. John said, "We know that the Son of God has come and have given us understanding." What is understanding? Understanding is knowing, isn't it? That's knowing. If you don't know Jesus in the free pardon of sin today, if you don't know that he has saved your soul today, it's time that you do get to know him. It's time to get to the place where you know it without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus did die for you and he's made a change in you. He'll make a change in you. Oh, you won't live perfect, but there's something on the inside that stays there so, so wonderfully. Those times when you get down and out and he just reaches down inside of you and lifts you up, reminds you of what you're going, where you're going. Listen to what he said. He said, "And have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true." He says we've already known it, but now he says, "And that we may know." Is that what he said? That we are, may know. Yeah, may know him. After that you get saved, and I say this, I'm going to say this again. You don't hear it as much as you used to. God did not save you to sit down on your seat and what way we used to say it, on the seat of do nothing. God didn't save you to sit down on your seat to do nothing and just go to heaven. He wants you to get into a better relationship with Him than you can imagine. Now, young people may not get this very well. When I married my wife, I knew her pretty good, I thought. Notice I said I thought. She might have thought she knew me pretty good. But we both had some understandings that we had to come to. I think that's true for parents with kids. They think they know how to raise kids, but you have to learn how to raise them, don't you? You may think you know the person that you work with very well, but the longer you work with them, the more you find out you didn't know them very well either. You just know about Jesus when you get saved. You just know He is. But the more time you take trying to understand Him, the more you find out about Him. And it's like your wife. The more you know about her, the more you love her. He says here in that 20th verse, that you may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. That's the other thing you know. You're in Him. You're saved. You're in Him. You're going to heaven. Because it says that this then, that we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. He's true God, but through Him is eternal life. You see, today, all of us, we may not want to admit it, especially when you're young. You may not want to admit there's coming a day that this life that you're living right here is going to end. But for us that are saved, we know there is something after that. We do. We know it within ourselves. And it's eternal. And we're going to live forever and ever in God Almighty is what we're going to do. We're in Him. So we're going to be able to enjoy God even more. As I said, we think we know. But there's coming a day when we'll know all things, even about God. We think we realize how much He loved us. But boy, when we get there, we're going to see it, feel it, hear it, understand it to the very fullest. Whew, that's going to be rich. It's going to be rich in that. These people knew the Lord, and I only touched a few of them. Do you know the Lord today? I'm talking about really knowing. I'm not talking about just getting into a Bible and reading about Him, saying I've seen what they say about Him, knowing Him that way. I'm talking about really knowing who He is. Really understanding that He abides in you and you abide in Him. Knowing that without a shadow of a doubt. Oh, that's different, isn't it? Without any doubts. Oh, there's many people that are saved. The devil runs them all over the place with doubts and everything. But when it comes down to the very, very brass tacks of everything, that's an old saying, I know. But when it comes down to the very point of the matter, He knows it. You know it. That's what we're talking about. They knew Him, and you can know Him too. Brother Sam, while we see Him. Sinner friend, I'll say to you today, today's a good day to be saved. We've been blessed to see two people get saved in here in the last few months. And my gosh, I'd love to see a lot more. I'd love to see everyone that's a sinner in our house today be able to stand up. You know what my prayer was earlier? I talked about the seven that got saved. The seven that got saved that I talked about this week. Lord, if we could just see seven get saved here today, boy, that'd be wonderful. I looked around and counted. There's maybe seven, eight, nine, somewhere along in that. Boy, if we could clean house, wouldn't that be wonderful? If God could clean the house of all the sinners, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? What would we preach to? Oh, we'd start teaching them about Jesus, wouldn't we? While we stand and sing, if you're here today and you're lost, you come and seek God, is what I want you to do. While we sing.
He's six.